It's time to become a member of Playvolution HQ and Explorations Early Learning. There's a free option and three paid patron level options. All come with free stuff and ongoing automatic training and merch discounts. For as little as a dollar a month, you can become a patron. That supports our work and you get premium stuff like early access to fresh podcast episodes. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com/membership or click the link in this episode's description to learn more. All the cool listeners are doing it. On with the show. Podcast. Jeff Johns here, broadcasting live from upstairs studio. Just noted that Carol and Heather are both drinking out of mugs that are the same color. That's awesome. With me is Samantha Balch.
Hola.
And a handful of people from the internet. We got Karen and we got Logan and we got Bailey and we got Carol and we got Heather and they're going to chime in and they don't even know what this episode is going to be about. And I've just got a vague idea.
We were just talking about collective nouns. What's a collective noun for a group of people who are on your Zoom? What is that?
Zoomers, Zoomies.
A zoom of people.
We've got a zoom of people here with us. Okay, I like that. Before we get into this topic that I just I had in the back of my mind, I think this is as good a time as any to talk about it. A couple things with the show. We're coming up on the new year. 2022 is about to start when this episode airs. And a couple changes I'm looking at is we're probably in 2022 going to be adding a third episode, like three episodes a week and a lot of weeks because we've got a lot of fun hosts to talk to. And then another thing is I've been playing around for literally the last year with episode transcription services. And there's a lot of good stuff out there that does the live transcription from audio to text. And so we're probably going to start adding transcripts to shows too. So you can go actually do a text search to find all the horrible things I say. So
yeah, accessibility rocks.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'll kind of be, no, I've had people
puts our nonsense on an even clearer record.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's the only downside, but I thought there are people that have asked for that. So I thought that might be something. It's something we can do. And the cost of that, because it's all AI driven, has come down a lot over the last couple of years. So that's something we're looking at doing.
Welcome our robot overlords.
Hey, I can't wait. Couldn't do worse than the humans. So speaking of our overlords, the topic I have in mind is it has been 3 months this week since I've been completely broken up from with social media. So just
we
wanted
have a
to
party. It's a what? Divorce party.
Hmm?
It's a divorce party. You yeah. never heard of divorce parties? We'll have one for you.
No. First. No, I'm a happily married dude. I don't know about divorce parties.
Yeah, so we'll have a divorce party from social media.
Yeah, so I just life has been delightful. I mean, life was delightful before, but I've had fewer people message me to tell me I'm a dick or that I hate teachers and that kind of stuff. So that's,
do you need us to do that for you? Do you need us to step in and fill that void?
No, I already know. I already know that. I mean, I already know that to be true. I don't need people telling me. I live with myself. I know for sure. And with all the other crap that's out on the internet, the fact that people made time in their day to rag on me about things that
honestly flattering.
Wow. It was very flattering. I just finished up yesterday another Agatha Christie novel because as I mentioned earlier this year on an episode with Lisa Murphy, as I decided I was going to read all of Agatha Christie, just finished number 36. So there's only like 38 more novels to go.
Yeah.
But in this book written in like the early 40s, they're in this little village and somebody's writing anonymous letters that are all fire and brimstone and hey, so and so is a whore.
Use the 1940s voice.
What?
Talk like Jimmy Stewart. Use an 1940s voice.
No, I don't know how to do that. Please do it for
me. You gotta talk like it's the 1940s doll. You gotta talk like this. It's a little fast, and you gotta call people doll and moxie.
Okay. That might have been I think I've got the fast part done. I don't have the moxie. And so this is going, and in other novels, she talks about all the gossiping and the backbiting and the bitterness and all of this stuff that goes on in these small English villages. And social media is that amplified and made instantaneous. And it really got to be a pain in the ass, and I'm glad I'm gone. This might be a real short episode. Any of you has so the last 3 months of social media gotten any better? Have I missed anything?
No. I deleted Facebook several years ago, and haven't cared. I feel like I should say, like, I grew up, my dad was in the military. So I moved every like 2.5 years. So I was in 7th grade when Facebook, I think it was in 7th or 8th grade when Facebook opened to everyone, where you didn't have to have a college email, where anybody could use it. So you can do the math and figure out how old I am. But I remember the first day my mom told me about Facebook, because she was told about it from one of her really good friends. And like her daughter was on it, and she was like, oh, it's a really fast way to check in on Sarah, like if you want to see what she's doing. So my mom like used a fake email address or something, I don't know, to like get on and then send a message to this girl who I remember being my babysitter, but was now in college. And now she like has a kid, and it's like all weird for me, because I always feel like she's so much older than me, but really we're about the same age, and it's terrifying.
But so your mom was stalking a college girl on Facebook, is what I've heard so far.
Okay. No, that's fine. My mom, who loves Jimmy Smits. Yeah. And my friend, when I was in 8th grade, made me a Facebook account. And I was like, why? I don't care. And then I moved, because my dad was in the military. And it was a fantastic way for me to talk with so many of my friends. And then, as Jeff was describing, it became an old English town, where it was just like stuff I didn't really care about. Like so much talking, and I didn't need it. I didn't really care. So the people that I really like have my phone number, and they'll like call me or text me. I do have an Instagram account that I follow like 100 people that I know in various ways. Some of them are like other social media presences. Because I don't have Facebook, I follow them on Instagram. So there are like some small businesses on there I follow, my Dungeons and Dragons group.
Wait, time out.
Hi.
Are you you're like a bard?
No, we already have a bard, so I'm not a bard.
Oh, okay.
That would be fun. No, I am I'm a dwarf ranger.
Okay, sure.
An uncommon combination, but I wanted to try it. My character's name is Holga. She's great. She has -1 charisma, so it's very fun to be here because she cannot talk to other people.
Okay,
she's
now we've
strong. She's a strong girl. She lifts things.
We delved a little bit deeper into Sam's nerdiness. That's delightful. Now I'm all distracted.
Yeah, like I have an Instagram account, which is great for like.
But didn't you just start like, another one?
I did. I do have another one that is specifically for my crochet, because there are so many beautiful makers on Instagram, and people post patterns and they post like the things they're working on. I'm like, that's delightful. I want to be a part of that. So it's literally entirely crochet. and it's very fun.
And see, I get that. There are wonderful things that social media could be.
Yeah.
And maybe wonderful things that it is in some places, but even
Facebook is a hell pit.
even those become corrupted hell pits. Absolutely. I mean, I spent a whole lot of time. People would add, on Facebook, people would add me to their early learning group.
No.
And this was just a group to talk about blah, 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 loose parts or process focused craft projects or whatever it was, or design. And every one of them, it seemed, turned into some sort of high school clicky so-and-so is bitching about so-and-so kind of thing. And I would unsubscribe myself, and then somebody else would resubscribe. I don't know I didn't even know that was a thing that you could do that. There is that potential for good out there, and that even got corrupted for me. Anybody else have thoughts?
I feel like I've come full circle on like the whole Facebook thing, because when it first started out, it was those badges. Remember, like everybody had those badges on Facebook. My sister got me started on it, and I remember saying, like, this is stupid. Why do I care what everybody else is doing all day? Like, I don't. Like, why do I need to know that? And then we're military, so when we moved away, it was a good way to, like, post pictures of the kids and, like, where we were. But now I'm back to, like, I don't care what you're doing all day. Like, I really don't. Like, I would delete it altogether if, like, I'm in some homeschool group, so when people get together, like, that's how they do it through that, unfortunately. But yeah, I'm like, it's come full circle. I'm back to, why do I need to know what everybody else is doing all day? And you know, it's a post picture. It's not actually what they're doing.
Right. No, it's never actually what they're doing, which is, and I think that's kind of speaking to what you just said, Carol, and what Jeff was talking about. So much of social media is a parasocial relationship, right? It's not a real relationship. Even a lot of these people that I went to high school with that, you know, to quote Olivia Rodrigo, like, I hope they're okay. Like, I care a lot about them. Like, we were close in high school. We were important in each other's lives. And now, like, we've grown up and things are different. And, you know, sometimes I'll send them a birthday message or, you know, like their posts or comment on a place they've been or something. But overall, it's not the same as actually being friends with them and being close with them. And, you know, we're not interacting in the same authentic way. We don't really have that. With some people I definitely do, but there are a lot of people that I'm like, I know I'm never going to see you again. But I have some sort of morbid fascination with what you're up to. Like, it's my own reality TV. I'm kind of curious, like, who's having a great time? Who's a train wreck? I just kind of wonder about it.
So you followed with your mother's interest in stalking people.
Yep. There's apples and trees and shit, and the apple hasn't fallen off the tree at all. It's still attached. It's the problem here. What do you got, Heather?
I think she's right. I think it follows that voyeuristic kind of like impulse in us. Like, it's the looking at the car wreck as you go by, you know. It's that, and so you see the posts from people you knew in high school or someone you associated with, you know, oh, what's happening in their life. But it's such a false, relationship. It isn't a relationship. You're just watching them. And then you get the little thing of like, oh, you might know this person. So, you know, somebody like looked you up because you're now seeing their thing. You're like, oh, why are they looking me up? And it's a very strange. And then I find that I just unfollow or I block a ton of people because I don't want to see all their political views and I don't want to see all their rants about things. So then I just have like family members that I've blocked because I don't want to see anything from them, but I want them to be able to see if I post something about the kids because we don't live close. But it's also like so weird. It's not real at all.
Okay. I have a story about like that relates to this idea of like blocking them, but also still wanting to know like what they're up to, what you're up to. So I have a cousin who has extremely opposing views to both myself and my sister. My sister still has a Facebook account. I do not. My sister, especially several, this has been going on for a long time. My sister was, she was better than me at holding her keyboard warrior slappage for a while. And then she kind of fell into it and was like trying to start conversations via Facebook, which is a terrible method to start a conversation, trying to start conversations. And then it would sort of turn into not name calling, but name call like adjacent stuff because there was no meshing with it. And my cousin unfriended my sister, which she did not care about, and blocked my sister, which she did not care about. She's like, fine, I don't mind. My sister has been invited to his wedding. What? It's just like, wait, what kind of relationship do we have? Like, we can't view each other online. We're not allowed to do that. But apparently in person, we're okay. So what? Which one is it? And why is it that way? And how do we get to a place where, like, are we authentically ourselves online? Are we authentically ourselves in person? Like, which one is the real us? Again, if you've calculated my age, you would know I had a live journal account, right?
Like, I don't even know what that is. Yeah, the wedding invitation happened because present, right? Wedding present.
I mean,
somebody wants a wedding present. That's exactly what it is. What do you got, Carol?
Oh, I was thinking not a present, but parents. Somebody's parents made that invite.
It totally could have been, but like, it's his fiance who has like taken charge of all of the wedding stuff, which is cool. I guess it gives her joy, whatever. But also just like it heavily amused us that like this person doesn't want to see my sister's presence online, but like at what could be argued as a very important day in his life, apparently, like Tabitha's worthy of an invitation. Yeah. Tabitha's my sister. So just like, really interesting, really fun. It was funny. It was just funny to me, this like trying to suss out like what is our online presence? What does this mean about ourselves and each other? Because like even like right now, like I am thoroughly enjoying this conversation and the majority of us do not know each other. Like, we're a bunch of strangers in a metaphorical bar. So
I've found, and I mean, it's three, I got to clarify, when I say I'm social media free, I still have a personal Facebook account that I haven't visited, but that exists so I can have Facebook Messenger. And I only access that through a desktop version because there are people that communicate that way that I need to be in touch with. And that's the easiest way to be in touch with them. And so I do have that, but I haven't been, I mean, that site exists to have the thing that's just a desktop app. So I haven't had any contact with the site. And so what I found, Sam, is that I spent probably 6 or 8 years being an inauthentic version of myself because that's what I had to become for the social media. And so before I started shutting it all down, I had like 250,000 followers on Facebook and I don't know, 10 or 15,000 on Instagram. And I mean, a bunch on Pinterest and that kind of stuff. And it seemed like I was spending a lot of time and energy maintaining all that stuff. And so if I'm on the road, oh, I got to post a picture of this hamburger or this flight of beers or whatever. Here I am at this town and all that stuff because you got to feed the beast, right? Yep. And so since breaking up with it, I spend more time as myself, which is really kind of quiet and kind of not out there and putting on a show. I can do that when I have to do that for work, but that's not who I am all the time. But also I found I've got a lot more time in my day because I'm not doing all of this. Oh, I've got to post here because I need to get those clicks. That just makes life more, I think, enjoyable for me at least.
Totally.
And there was withdrawal. I mean, it took 18 months to do completely. You get addicted to the notification going off on your phone that somebody clicked on something or whatever. And so it was kind of breaking up with that programming those sites had wired into me, which is exactly what it is. I mean, they're programming us to pay attention to them so they can siphon off our information and make money with it.
Yeah. This has got me thinking now a little bit about, does anybody else have for their center or their program, like a learning management software that involves sending photos to parents? So we have one, I won't name it because I don't want it to get mad at me. And I think it's a fine app, or whatever. But just like, there's the expectation that we're going to post photos / videos on it so that the families can see it. And on the one hand, the side of me that loves documentation and teacher research is like, well, yeah, I'm taking photos all day. I love to do that because I love to have the stories of what the children are doing all day. And then the other half of me, and something I'm noticing, especially with some of my colleagues, is that these are just becoming like Facebook posts or Instagram posts where there's nothing of substance within the photo or the video or the caption. It's just like a picture of two kids eating lunch and then it says best friends forever on it. I'm like, okay, well, A, factually false. B, what's it like? Is this just to check off the box and say you posted something and then the parent gets the notification and then they hit the like button and then we're done? Because then, you know, what's the point of that? What are we feeding? We're not really giving them, you know, a great taste of our day and the incredible work that we're doing with their children and the beautiful problem solving and exploration and making a mess and all of that stuff that's coming up in just this one photo of two kids eating lunch. So like, do we need to be better about that? Should we even be doing it at all? Is no matter what, it's going to slide into a social media-esque problem where we're never really authentically showing what's happening. Should we even do it? I don't know.
I do. You shouldn't, because what it ends up becoming is becomes a distraction from you and the children. Right. And there are enough of those during the day. Yeah. And so having that expectation that you need to be posting this bullshit to this feed for the parents, it just becomes another one of those distractions that gets in the way of those relationships and interactions. And we don't need that.
If we're going to take those photos and tell those stories, then we need to do those photos and those stories justice. They deserve a series of photos and, you know, like a delightfully written paragraph that kind of explains what they were doing when they were digging this hole and how they solved the problem of the rock that was too big. Right. Like, I think that those moments deserve more than this kind of social media feed could really give us.
And I think there are children who are already noticing in their lives that device that their adult is attached to is more important than them, because that's where the adult's focus is all the time. And if they're seeing that in a majority of their time away from your programs, and then they start seeing it in your programs, it's really doing the kids a disservice. And is that me being a dick and being a little bit preachy? Yeah, but I think there's some validity there, because I mean, I see it all. I mean, not all the time, because I'm a hermit. But the times I do venture out into the world and interact with humans, there are a lot of adults that are with children that are more fascinated by the mocha that their friend just put. Mocha is a drink, right? That's a mocha.
Yeah,
you can drink a mocha. They're more interested in the coffee, that the hot beverage that their friends posted on Instagram than the child that is at their side. And
I have an anecdotal story that links to this.
Those really are the best kind.
That's kind of an only story. Welcome to redundancy time with Sam. So I have a student who knows I like to take pictures. I also like to let the children take pictures a lot because they will get different angles than I do. And I think it's more interesting when they do it. So she specifically asked me, can you take a picture of me on these balancing bars when I'm upside down? I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, cause I know you love to do that. And I took a picture of her. And then I said, and I'm going to print. So what I do with a lot of my pictures is I print them out and I put them, I have like these, you know, like cheap little folders with the brads in the middle. And there's like the classroom construction book, the classroom writing book, the classroom art book, and whatever category the photo falls into, I put it there. So if, you know, I see the kids and they're building something interesting with the blocks, I might snap a picture and then print it out and put it in the book. And then I might tell them, hey, put your picture in the book. Can you tell me about it? And then I might write down what they say on the back. So I take the picture. I'm like, great, I'm going to put it in like our outdoor book. And she says, but can you send it to my mom? I was like, well, what? Can you tell your mom about it? She's like, no, you have to send it to her. I'm like, well, you could tell her what you did. That's what that was kind of the first time for me. I started thinking, oh, maybe this isn't going the way I thought it was. Maybe I have been possibly willfully ignorant to pieces of this and portions of this and the way it might be playing out in the child's mind. And I want to be more careful about that because I don't want this feed of photos and videos to replace the children explaining their accomplishments, their excitements, their problems, because it should be coming from them, not from me all the time.
Yeah, I'm just glad you're not printing that stuff out. And you don't have, I mean, if you panned your camera to the left, there would be a wall of like one of those serial killer walls in the movies. Okay. Where they got all the pictures with the bits of yarn running between things. And yep. You don't have one of those walls, do you, Sam?
No, but it is kind of fun to see, like, here's what Missy built in the beginning of the year and here's what Missy built at the end of the year and how they're similar and how they're different.
Yeah, as long as you don't go stalkerish with it. Absolutely. I totally agree with that. And look, I'm not anti-technology. I love the interwebs and I love my technology.
Said on Zoom.
Yeah, he said, the podcast guy said on Zoom. That bit of it, the social media platforms have just become so vile. I would like to see more of the blogosphere that existed before the big social media platforms, because I think the internet was a lot more dynamic then.
The internet was a nice place once. I will die on this hill. There was once where like blogs were simple and nice. A lot of the time. And like, I feel like the internet was also really small once upon a time. You know, it was a lot smaller and you could find your people more easily and connect with them more easily and possibly more authentically. Not necessarily, but possibly. I think now it's like you said, just so easy to get lost in it. But I fondly look back on like early blogging days. Is that me being old? Is that...
No, I mean that it just seems to be you're not stuck in somebody else's silo in those situations as much. And I mean, all the goal of Facebook is to keep people on Facebook and the goal of Instagram is to keep people on Instagram. And so you get kind of stuck in this ecosystem that is totally controlled and not reality, because if you're not seeing the most important stuff to you in your feeds, you're seeing the stuff that they want you to see in your feeds, because right. All the algorithms are weighted towards those kind of things. And
so it's because I'm a 28-year-old woman and it thinks all I'm thinking about is having children. So that's all I get. All I get advertised is baby stuff and like fertility treatments. So like, not only does it think I only want children, it thinks I'm unable to have them. And like, I must be so concerned. So here's all of this fertility stuff. I'm like, no, well, I just wanted to see how to crochet a hat.
It might be all the crocheting penguins and stuff. That might be the trigger. Anybody else have any thoughts on this before we wrap it up?
Follow me on Instagram. No.
Go ahead, Heather.
Sorry, Heather.
Well, I think we're naive to think that people would go back to blogging because nobody wants to read. If you watch people looking at Instagram or Facebook, they're not reading anything. They're just scrolling.
Sure.
You have to read a blog. You have to read it. You have to like look at it. You actually know what it is. But I think too, your anecdotal, you can see the families in your group that have children, you know, or your kids in your group that have parents who post a lot on Instagram, mm-hmm. because they're the kid who is like, take a picture, send it to my mom. And you're just like, it's the same block tower that you just showed me 2 seconds ago and took a picture of it, you know? And then to your point about the, about like, do we even know why we're taking the pictures? I totally see that with my staff. Last year, parents were not allowed in because of all the COVID restrictions. So we were like we kept them out. So we did make an effort to try to send stuff. But when I told staff to send stuff, I thought they would understand meaningful stuff. Mm-hmm. But then I'm looking at what they're sending, and it is this random picture of kids eating snack and and I was literally watching them just like run around the room and just like take picture. Oh, okay, I got everybody, and then just send a but. And I was like, okay, that's not what I meant when I said to send pictures. Like when you see them do all working together to build a tower, that's a cool picture to take. That's something meaningful you can send the parents and say, oh, look at the cool, you know, look at the collaboration that went into making this tower. Not, oh, look at this kid zooming. I mean, some of the pictures were so bad. I was like, why are you sending the, it's like kids running by. It's like kids off in the distance. You can't even see who's in them. It's like, why does the parent want that? What is the parent even going to do with that? But I don't think teachers even know what they're looking for sometimes when they're taking the picture. They think they're documenting, but I don't think they know what they're even looking for. They're just taking the picture. So it becomes just, they checked a box again. They checked a box. I took the picture and mm-hmm. I'm done.
This has inspired me now. I might consider adding Jeff a third training about that specific thing.
Ooh.
I think this is something I find so interesting is like actually doing like picture taking and talking, like sending, documenting things that you send to parents well. Even if it's just short, like you don't have to write a full learning story, which I freaking love to do. Like that's so much fun for me. That's my blogging.
It's sushi learning for parents. It's that meaningful picture with a sentence or two. It's that bite-sized bit that they can assume because that's how they're used to consuming things. Carol, did you have something?
Well, I was thinking about the algorithm, talking about being off Facebook because I was off for quite a long time. And it's funny to watch what the algorithm does when you get back on because it's confused because you haven't been there.
Where have you been?
It's the most random stuff. It's like, what?
Look at this weird stuff and pay attention. We'll see what you pay attention to.
What do you like? What do you like? What do you like?
Well, listeners, we hope you like the podcast. And you must because the numbers have been really, really good for about the last 4 months. They were good before, but then they just boomed about the same time I left social media, by the way.
The people followed you.
Show qualities went up because I've had time to I haven't been watching so many cat videos on Facebook. if you're looking for more me or more Sam or more of any other show hosts, go to the show notes and click the button. You'll find them there. We'll be back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening and be safe out there.
And thanks to our Zoom of people that came.
Yeah. Thanks everybody for hanging out.
Glad to have you.
Not distracted by Carol's giant mug nearly as much this time. She had a slightly smaller mug. That was great.
We're learning how to placate Jeff properly. Small mugs only, but not too small. That'll be too interesting.
Well, I think the thing will be when I get my monocle, I won't be able to see as good.
That's like, God, I'm still so on.
I got to start taking the glasses off when we record so that everything is a little bit blurrier. And
it's going to become an audio only experience. We're going to go right back to conference calls.
Yeah, maybe. Well, thank you, everybody.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.